My lesson is entitled God's Teaching. And I'd like to read from the book of Psalms, the 78th chapter, read the first seven verses for a thought tonight. It says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and forget not the works of God, but keep His commandments." And that's the thought that I have tonight on this lesson. As we think about teaching, teaching is the activity of instructing or educating. And it's activities that impart knowledge or skill. About 20 or so years ago, I began to do some research into my family history. I sort of took an interest in that, and I traveled around all over southern Kentucky and northern Tennessee, and I went to various courthouses and libraries and graveyards, trying to gather some information that I might educate myself on where my people come from. Today we live in a time where there's virtually at our fingertips on the World Wide Web or the Internet, we can basically do those searches without having to travel very much. With the Internet today, you can find just about any information you want to on about any subject that you can think of. But when it comes to the teachings of God, or God's teaching, there's not very many sources you can go to. There's a lot of information in libraries, and there's a lot of information on the Internet. But to truly get down to God's teaching, this is the only thing that we have, isn't it? The Word of God. There's nothing else that has been authorized, that has been given unto man, other than, and we'll get to those in just a moment, but just basically thinking about God's teaching, that's education or instruction that comes from God or His Word. The Word of God gives us instruction. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." All Scripture. This from Genesis to Revelations. There's not an error in it. And it harmonizes. You can't find anything in there that contradicts itself. If you find something that you don't understand that appears to contradict itself, then you need to study just a little bit more, because the instruction is there. It does not contradict itself. And the reason is because this is not man's commentary. It's not man's opinion. It was written by several different men. I believe there's 39 books in the Old Testament and 27 in the New. And they range from shepherds to kings. They range from tax collectors to even Pharisee. Men of different backgrounds and different educational levels. penned down these 66 books. And you would think if we took everyone here and give everyone the same subject and asked you to write a paragraph or a page on that subject, why, no doubt there may be some similarities, but there would probably be different viewpoints, different opinions, and different directions that people would go. But we find in the Word of God, it tells us that the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. This Word of God that we have, God inspired it upon the hearts of man. And yes, they all have maybe their different styles of writing, but it still all harmonizes one with the other. There's no error in it. It says the first instruction that God ever gave to man, the first teaching that we find appeared in the Word of God, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, speaking about Adam, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." God was instructing Adam, "This garden that I placed you in, it is yours to keep and to enjoy and to live in, but this tree right here, this tree of knowledge of good and evil, don't eat it. Don't eat the fruit of that tree. In fact, he went on to say, don't even touch it because you will die." God was trying to teach or instruct Adam in obedience to God. You know, that's where all men come short, isn't it? Is being obedient to God. We find that Adam fell short, that he disobeyed God, and because of that brought sin upon the whole human family. But we find just a little bit later, God doing some more teaching, some more instructing. We find that Adam and Eve, they had sewn fig leaves together to cover their nakedness, and God saw their failed attempt. The Bible tells us that He made them coats of skin. And I believe He was teaching Adam that it's going to take more than your efforts. It's going to take the shedding of blood to remove this. Because the Bible tells us where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. I want to think that Adam learned his lesson. I want to think that Adam began to teach his children these things that God had taught him. Because we find later on that Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice. How did he know to do that? I believe Adam taught him. Just as we are to teach our children. Just as the Scriptures in our reading lesson told us to pass these teachings of God on to the next generation. We find that God taught Moses. When God called Moses out of the burning bush and told him that He wanted him to go to Pharaoh and to declare unto Pharaoh to let my people go, we find that Moses was much like most men that have been called by God to preach the gospel. He began to back up and say, "Now wait a minute, Lord, I'm not capable of this. I'm not. What would I say to Pharaoh? Who would I tell him that sent me?" He began to make all kinds of excuses and reasons not to be obedient unto God. And God told him over in the fourth chapter in the 12th verse after. He finally said, "But Lord, I can't talk plain. They won't be able to understand what I'm saying. I'm not of eloquent speech." Friends, I'm glad that it doesn't take eloquent speech to be a man called of God. I'm glad that God can take anybody and enable them to preach the gospel, no matter how incapable we may feel that we are. And certainly I know that that comes from humility, that we don't feel qualified to do that. But I've learned in my experience that God is able to take a shy, backward individual and to enable him to try to preach the gospel. God told Moses, said, now go there. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and will teach thee what thou shalt say. God is telling Moses that I'm going to help you. I'm not just sending you out there on your own, but I'm going to go with you. I'm going to be there with you, and I'm going to help you, and I'm going to teach you and instruct you what you need to say and what you need to do. We find that as Moses was able, with the help of God and his leadership and his instruction, was able to lead the children of Israel out of bondage and was leading them towards the promised land. And there when they got to Mount Sinai, we find that God gave a law unto Moses. This law was God's instruction on how he wanted his people to live. How he wanted them to conduct themselves with one another. And how he wanted them to worship him. God said, I will give you this instruction. And there on Mount Sinai, we find that God gave Moses the law. And Moses in turn was to take that and to instruct and to teach the children of Israel that God had given him. It's sort of like a preacher when he gets up to preach. God inspires him or gives him the message. And if he's obedient, does what God would have him to do, he'll get up and he'll relay that to the congregation. And that's what Moses done with the law here. Fourth chapter Deuteronomy says, behold, I have taught you statutes. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel. I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. That law that God gave, why, there was instruction there for those people on how they were to carry out their everyday walk of life. There was instructions there on how they was to treat one another. There was instructions there on how they was to approach God to worship Him. Because my Bible tells me that God is a jealous God. We can't just throw up a sign that says church and get an assembly of people together and say that we're worshiping God. There is a precise element that's needed in order to worship God. Bible tells me that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. If we try to worship Him of our own accord, or of our own thoughts or our own ways, well, God will not get any honor and glory out of that. But if we allow the Spirit of God to move and work and lead and direct our hearts, then we can worship God, can't we? Listen, this law that God gave to Moses, it was to lead men to Christ, wasn't it? If you think about the law, if you go and study that, you'll find that in every aspect of the law, whether it be in the tabernacle, or whether it be in the temple, whether it be in the furnishings, whether it be in the ceremonies, whatever that you look at, you'll find that it points to Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. That law was to teach those people that Messiah would come one day. God had promised that He would come and deliver them not from the bondage of Egypt, but from the bondage of sin. And by faith, they looked towards that. They looked for His coming. Today, we look back and believe that He did come. That was given in types and in shadows. But now we live under the dispensation of grace. Now we have the Word of God. We have a record of Messiah or Jesus that did come to this world and gave His life. He said, I've not come to destroy the law. Many of them, well, they claimed that He was Beelzebub. They claimed that He was a devil. They claimed this and that. He was a rebel rouser. He's stirring up trouble. There was a lot of people that didn't recognize who He was. But He said, I come not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it, to complete it. Solomon was one of the wisest and wealthiest men of his day. And the embodiment of his writings, whether it be in Proverbs or in the Psalms or in Ecclesiastes, well, they can all be focused on the first chapter of the book of Proverbs. And in the seventh verse, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools despise that. But the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. I remember the first time that I ever had any inkling that there was a God. I had been taken to church some. We started, I guess, when I was probably about 12 years old. And the preacher would get up and preach, and I didn't have a clue what he was talking about. People would get up and testify and they would sing songs of Zion and all of these things, and it had no effect upon me. But the night that I realized that I was lost and separated from God, there was a fear that came over me. That was the beginning of my search for wisdom. The fear of the Lord is one's ability to submit and yield to what God and His Word says to do and obey it. The gospel required me and every sinner to repent. That's what is required. And it was up to me to submit to that and to obey that, because people that refuse to do that, they're going against God, aren't they? They're disobeying God. They'll fall into the hands of an angry God one of these days, or a living God, I believe the Bible says. But we find that Noah, the Bible tells us that he, being warned of God of things not yet seen, said he moved with fear to the preparing of an ark. I don't think that Moses got all nervous and jittery and was afraid of death. I believe that Moses, the Bible tells us in one place, or not Moses, but Noah, the Bible tells us that he believed God. He believed what God had told him. And because of that, because of the fear or the knowledge or the instruction that God had given him, he moved on that and prepared this ark for the saving of him and his family. It wasn't, I don't think it was the fear like we might think when we think of the word fear, of being afraid. I believe he was moved with awe in with God. It says, Proverbs 4:10 says, hear ye children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain words, keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. Forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she shall promote thee. She shall bring thee to honor when thou dost embrace her. She shall give to thine head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory shall she deliver to thee. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. That's found in Proverbs, verse 4, 1 through 10. I thought about the teachings of God, and when we read in the Word of God, when we look in the Scriptures, and we find the examples that are there that God has put forth, the men that followed God and were obedient to them or to Him, we find that there was blessings along the journey, wasn't there? It didn't mean that the road wasn't rocky. It didn't mean that there wasn't trials and tribulations along the way, but there was blessings there. You know, there's times, and I'm sure we've all experienced this in our life, when things maybe just wasn't like we'd like for them to be, but yet we knew, we had the assurance and the confidence that God was with us, and God was going to help us make it through that. Friends, there's no greater blessing than to know that God's with you and going to help you along the journey. And certainly when I read in the Scriptures, or even experience in life, in other people's lives, God working and blessing because they've been obedient to the Lord. They have followed His instruction and His teaching. Why, it certainly is a blessing. I know Solomon, the Bible tells us how that he rose to great fame. There were people that traveled great distances just to come and be in his presence and hear him speak. But we also find on the other end of the pendulum there that Solomon fell in folly, didn't he? That he got away from God. Now, whether that was through prosperity, whatever the reason was, he went from one extreme to the other. And he experienced, I believe, a walking without God. Have you ever in your life gotten away from God and experienced that walk that wasn't where God wanted you to be? And how lonely and how alone and distant that you felt? Solomon said that when all this was said and done, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I've seen it and experienced it all. That's what he was telling us. I've seen it all. I've experienced it all. And here's what I think, what it comes down to. Let us fear God and keep His commandments. Follow God's teaching. Be obedient unto the Lord. I didn't get to hear all of the lesson, but we heard prior to this, Brother Wilson talking about the chastisement of God when we are disobedient, when we don't follow God's teachings. Why, we're going to fall into that category, aren't we, of being chastised. Solomon said, let's fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's why God created us. For His honor and for His glory. And the only way we can honor and glorify Him is to follow Him and be obedient unto Him. And how can we follow Him? Well, we've got some instruction here, don't we? We have some instruction here. This is our roadmap or our manual to life. I know today is my daughter's birthday, and that's why we was late. We took her out to eat tonight. And I remember 31 years ago when she was born, I thought, you know, if the hospital would just give me an owner's manual on how to raise her, I'll do all right. But they didn't. So me and my wife done the best we could. It wasn't too many months after that the Lord called me, or I announced my calling to preach, and then I realized I already had a manual if I'd have just been using it. So I had to play catch up. But you know, I'm glad that's not all we've got. You know, when Jesus was here and He walked on the earth, Bible says that many times, and I've got a scripture here, that he gathered his disciples together and he taught them. It says that, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them. That's in Matthew 5, 1 and 2. Now, there was a multitude of people there, but you know, sometimes we need one-on-one with God, don't we? We can come together collectively in God's house and be instructed and be taught and enjoy that, but sometimes we need that one-on-one with God. And I believe that Jesus recognized this and knew that this was needed. There was times when he would gather a whole multitude or crowd of people together and would teach them. And then there were times when it was just the disciples that come together and he began to teach them and taught them and instructed them while he... This was God's teaching, wasn't it? Because Jesus was God, wasn't he? And God was instructing these disciples, because he knew the day would come when he wouldn't be here. And he told them, he said, I'm getting ready to go away. He said, but don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He was trying to prepare them for that hour that was coming when he would hang on the cross, and that he would give his life as a sacrifice, that animal that died back there in the garden that covered the sin of Adam, that now this animal, this man creature, this God-man would now die and shed his blood to cover the sins of a whole race of people, a whole multitude. And he was trying to prepare them for that. He said, but when I go away, I'll not leave you comfortless. I'll send the Comforter. I'll pray the Father that he send the Comforter, that he might guide you and help you along the way. I'm glad today that not only do we have God the Father who sits on the throne, not only do we have Jesus, his Son, seated beside him, making intercession for us, but we have God the Holy Spirit that is now occupying his office here on earth to instruct and to guide and to lead us. He said that, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Our guide, our instructor. And you know, I have found, as no doubt we all have, that in my experience, when I follow that guide, I'm not led astray. I'm not led wrong. He doesn't do that. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit to guide us as individuals, to help us and to lead us in this life, but Jesus, when he left, he said that he... would leave this Holy Spirit also in the church. The church was given the instruction and the authority and the power to carry on the teachings of Christ. Matthew 28 and 18 says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said, these things that I've taught you, I want you to teach them to other converts. You're going to have to go out and preach the gospel. That's what it took. After I realized that I was lost and separated from God, I didn't know God, didn't know how to find God. But the little church that followed the Spirit of God and followed the teachings of God, they knew how to instruct me. They knew which direction to point me. They couldn't save me, but they could point me to the one that could. They could instruct me on how that I might approach Him, how that I might get to Calvary's cross and there plead my case before a holy God. They couldn't do it, but they could get me close enough to where I could do it. In other words, the teachings was that you repent and you trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's the instruction that I was given. You pray and ask God to save your soul. You repent of your sins and you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ. That was the teaching that the little church gave me, and I'm glad today that those teachings of God are still going on today in little churches dotted across the land all over this globe, that people are still practicing and still sending out, if you will, the teachings of God that God has. He said, go and preach the gospel and baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. We've got a baptism. Had one to join this past Sunday, and I've not baptized anybody in January before. I'm looking forward to it with mixed emotions. But he said, baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And then teach them to observe the things that I taught you. God's teachings will not lead wrong. They will not lead a lost and dying world astray. Lead them into hell. God's teachings won't do that. The instructions that He's given us here, the instructions that He gives us in our heart, the instructions that the church gives today, why if we're obedient and following God and His teachings, why friends, it leads to life, doesn't it? It did in my case. If you've been saved by God's grace, it did in your case too. I'm thankful today for God's teaching that not only can I look in His Word and study it and try to delve into it and get out of it as much as I can, but I've also got the Spirit that'll lead me and guide me in my daily walk of life. And I've also got the church that has stood firm down through the years on the things of God. And I'm glad today. I'm thankful for the little church and that she's still standing for the truth of God's Word and still standing for God's teachings. And I'm thankful that she was there when I needed her to point me in the direction that I needed to go, Brother Miller, because without her and without the teachings of God, that she displayed and that she encouraged me to follow, why, I'd still be lost and on my way to hell. So it's expedient unto us, isn't it? Jesus said it was expedient or it was necessary for Him to go away. Why, it's necessary for us to carry on God's teachings, isn't it? Because there's a lost and dying world out there that needs to be saved. May God bless each and every one of you. That's my feeble little effort tonight.